Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. We will be taking callers after the half hour. The number is 646-716-9663. Today I'm very pleased to have with us Peter Beamish. Welcome, Peter.
Hello.
Peter, tell us about yourself. Tell us about spirituality in you. Talk to us.
Well, I'm someone who comes from a pretty traditional background, and around the time spirituality really found me, I was in corporate business. I came out of university as a radio television degree, and I began working as a freelance cameraman. Did that for many years, a lot of traveling, meeting a lot of different people. I went from doing camera to becoming a producer and a director, and I worked on various shows, none of them that which would have been called spiritual in any way. And then what happened to me was, if I had to pin it down to sort of one point, it was in 1999 when I went to see The Matrix. And that sort of woke me up. I saw it as a matinee. So it was middle of the day, and when I came out of the movie, which was a very dark movie in a way, but also really all the spiritual guidance that one would ever need, I feel is contained within that movie. And I came out into the street on a sunny day, and the world just didn't look the same to me anymore. I guess I realized something was up. So right around that same time, I also was introduced to Neil Donald Walsh, his book Conversations with God. Someone put that in my lap. And the third person, because I like to speak of meeting three spiritual teachers all at the same time, the third person I was introduced to was Osho, a mystic most prominent in the 60s and 70s. So as I say to people, my first three spiritual teachers were Neo, Osho, and Neil Donald Walsh. And so I started along that route. I left my corporate work, and I wanted to see, I've always been a very technical person, and I wanted to see what was behind these things. In particular, I had just finished reading Neil Donald Walsh's book, Calm. I assume you're fairly familiar with his story?
I definitely am familiar with him and know him personally, yes.
Yeah, okay, so you know his story. And what I did is, the book itself really amazed me, but at the same time, I was also interested in the mechanics behind it. What did this mean that he was, was God in his head? Was the voice in his head? Was it moving his hand? I wanted to know more. And as I was looking around for answers to this, I came upon Lee Carroll, who channels Kryon. And Lee was coming to my city, which is Ottawa, Canada. He was coming to do a conference, and I contacted him, and it was quite interesting because I asked him if I could do an interview, and he agreed to it. And then I emailed back, and I said, well, this is sort of true confessions time. I just want to be 100% straight up here and tell you that I don't really know about this field, but I'm keenly interested in it. So Lee Carroll became my first metaphysical interview, and I asked him every question that I could come up with. When the interview was finally over, the cameraman looked at me kind of shaking his head and said, I have never seen an interview that exhaustive in my life. I interviewed him for about 2.5 hours. And whittled it down and made it into a DVD that Lee continues to put out, and it's called Kryon, The Whole Story, and it's a DVD of that interview.
And it is available on what website, and how do we find that DVD?
You can go to my website, which is aura.ca, and you'll make your way there. As well, you could go to cryon.com as well and into Lee Carroll's store. And it's a white cover DVD, as I say, and it's called The Whole Story. So right after I finished shooting that interview, I got word that Neil Donald Walsh was going to be in Montreal, which is only about an hour and a half's drive. So again, a lot of preparation. Other than I had read the book, I went down to Montreal and did an interview with Neil that went extremely well. It was I'm just so fascinated in the material that it's to do these things. So did an interview with Neil Donald Walsh. After that, across my path. That's who I'd heard of next. And
how did that interview
a friend of mine gave me, well, what happened there was gave me their a CD of theirs. They put out these weekly CDs, have been for almost, I think, over 25 years now. And when I listened to it, I was mesmerized. I took it in my Walkman to show you.
Well,
Walk, I hadn't because and listen, it was just so. Yeah, yeah. And set up an interview, and I flew down to their area in.
Okay, it seems you're having some technical difficulties. Your voice is cutting in and out. And if you could change something to make you more audible, that would work.
My suggestion, Peter, would
better?
Have you just...
Would be what?
I was going to suggest, Peter, that maybe you you hang up and reconnect again and probably get a better connection, I think.
Okay.
Okay, so we are talking to Peter Beamish right now, and his website is www.aura.ca. And for all of you people who were wondering what .ca stands for, Canada. And he has some beautiful CDs and DVDs that he's filmed with some of the leading masters, spiritual masters, and teachers of our time. And let's take a deep breath. And we're waiting for him to come back. You know, this is kind of like a spiritual path. You're going along the path and you're talking to God and you're connected with the earth, and all of a sudden there's a place in your life where the connection gets blurry. You don't necessarily hear your intuition. You don't see where you're going. So how are we doing there, Mark? Okay, I can't hear you.
All right, Star, we got Peter back on.
Great, Peter.
Hi.
I was just telling people how being disconnected is a little bit like life. Every once in a while, we can't hear our intuition or God, and it's just something we need to work through. So
right.
You did the DVD of Neil Donald Walsh, then you went to do the DVD of?
Jerry and Esther Hicks.
Okay. And now continue with your story.
So I went down to their compound in San Antonio, Texas. They have a 40-acre farm there, and that's where the office is. Now, having said that, Jerry and Esther, Jerry has passed a few years ago, but they are almost constantly on the road. They had a big monster bus, they called it, a big rock star monster bus, and they traveled around the country every weekend putting on workshops, and I'll get back to those in a minute. But I went down to where they were in San Antonio, and I sat down with first Jerry and Esther, and they told me the story right from born and how they met and how after that I spoke to Abraham for another couple of hours. So that DVD became called, that was called Introducing the Secret Behind the Secret. And the reason it was called that was a writer.
Okay, the secret behind the secret.
Yes. The reason it was called the secret, it was a baby. Was sort of showing Abraham as being a secret. It was that was the name of the. So extremely well. It's been viewed hundreds of thousands of times, and from there I went on. I interviewed another few people, another few medical physical people, and eventually came back to Esther 4 years ago. And I am and have been for 4 years. A member of her crew. You can go from city to city every weekend. And I do the basics for these workshops are, it starts off with Esther coming out and saying hello, and then she laughs.
Uh-huh, you're breaking up again, CD.
Okay, let me try a call.
All right. I take a deep breath. Better.
Okay.
Great. And you were traveling with Esther?
Yes, I travel every week. My week.
Okay, Mark, I'm having huge blanks of communication here. Is there any possible way we can fix this?
No, this is basically just a Skype network problem. It doesn't even have to do with Blog Talk.
I'm going to call in on my cell phone.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good, Peter.
I'm calling in on my cell phone.
All right. Take a deep breath. And pay attention. Pay attention how communications and relationships can fade in and fade out, no matter how important,
Hi, I'm back again.
Great.
And I think we've got it fixed this time.
I think we do, too. You're clear as a bell.
Excellent. Okay, I'll just pick up where I was, and that
go
was
ahead.
Every weekend on a Friday, I get on a plane and I head down to whatever city we're going to be in. If it's the summertime, then we'll be doing places like Chicago and Boston and that sort of thing. And if it's the winter, then we'll be down south. We'll do California and Florida and that sort of place. As well, Esther puts on 3 to 4 cruises every year. So, for example, we've got one coming up in the South Pacific. We're all going to fly over to Sydney, Australia, and we're going to do a workshop there in this 200-year-old cathedral. It should be really outstanding. And then board a ship, and essentially about 1,000 people, whatever will fit in the theater, will put on it. We'll have another workshop, and so that's the way it goes right now. It's a very exciting lifestyle I've got going on right at the moment.
You are very, very blessed to be able to be with Esther so often in that energy. Multiple times, and it must be totally amazing to you. Now, we've talked about a lot of spiritual teachers, and we've talked about what you're doing. I want to find out a little bit about what you're being. How are you? Where are you on your own spiritual path?
Well, I mean, I'm one of those people that has been curious from day one. When I was a little kid, it was UFOs. And then it just went from there. Anything that was a little bit unusual or strange or unexplained always drew me. And where I am on my spiritual path, I mean, I'm weekly, not, you know, you were speaking of the energy, not only the energy of Abraham, but the energy of all of these people that come to these workshops. They, some of them, they've been waiting years to come, and they are so excited and so full of energy. And I just, I feed off of it every week.
That sounds great. Have you ever started with a person who just stepped into, and, you know, there's, like, for example, I carry a spark of my Curandera lineage, and people, it's like I bring in the light, the download, and it's, I'm kind of like a diamond, and it comes from source, and it comes from my heart, and it comes from my mouth, and whatever it comes from. Have you ever taken a person who just started with the Hickses and filmed them as they spiritually grew through the process of attending?
Not specifically that way. I have done many interviews with people who have ended up in the hot seat. I've interviewed them afterwards. And these days, you know, by the time someone comes to a workshop, it's almost never that they're newbies, because what happens is these days with YouTube, as soon as they catch wind of Abraham or any spiritual teacher, as you know, there's usually a wealth of material available on YouTube. And so by the time they come, they'll get in the hot seat and they'll say, this is my very first workshop, and yet the conversation is right up to speed.
Absolutely. How have you changed attending these workshops? How have you changed? How have you connected more with Source?
Well, I think what it is Abraham, Esther used to call these workshops the art of allowing. And the word art, to me, they use the word art because it's an art that it means you have to practice it. And so what I find for myself is every single week this is being reinforced and reinforced and reinforced. So having a constant reminder like that, just, I find it just keeps me in the energy. The Monday to Thursday when I'm back home, if it's a regular week, it's a much more calm situation than these high pressure, not high pressure, that's not the right word.
Intense energy.
So much fun. Yeah, intense energy. And it's very social. From the moment I show up at the hotel, at first it's the crew. We're best of friends, and we're showing up every week and always excited to see each other. And from there, once we do the setup, the next morning we come down and people are lined up outside, and they're very excited. So it's like a shot in the arm to me every single weekend.
Wonderful. So I would be very interested in, when are you going to do your own work? When are you going to sit in front of a camera and give a teaching?
You know, I'm not certain that that's my calling. I feel like, as far as sitting in front of a camera, I do sit in front of a camera to conduct these interviews, and that just feels like what I was sort of born to do. And I feel that I can present these esoteric subjects in a way that the average person can get it. A lot of times when you see certain metaphysical teachings, you sort of have to be already in that genre. You have to, you know about chakras and about auras and this and that. Whereas my angle is always, I want to bring it to the masses, if you will, although the masses are more and more waking up. But so I don't know that I have a teaching to give. I think I'm a facilitator.
Well, that's a very, very important job also to do, is to
right.
facilitate. And I call it the bridge people, the people who've got just stepped over into spirituality, or, you know, are stepping over to become fully engaged in their process of connection through whoever their teacher, maybe. What are some of the items that you also have up for sale on your website, aura.ca?
Well, primarily the DVDs. My focus, as I say, for the last 4 years has been slightly elsewhere because the Abraham stuff has been pretty well all-encompassing, because not only am I doing the weekly workshops, but up until a little while ago, I mean, we're just taking a bit of a breather now, but I also produce all of their DVDs and all of their YouTube videos. And so you can imagine that's quite a bit of material. And the other area that I've struck out on is that we've set up a site called Amplified Life. And maybe this is more what you were talking about, where it's not that I feel that I necessarily have a teaching to give to people, but what I think I can do is I can showcase my life and the life of my partner, Lee, and I, as we travel to these workshops and as we go on these cruises. And, you know, the tagline for Abraham Hicks is, life is supposed to be fun. And I've often said to people, that's not a lightweight statement, especially in this modern day. To say life is supposed to be fun to someone who's not having a lot of fun, you know, can meet with a lot of resistance. But I feel that it takes focus to be happy, to watch your thoughts and stay in a positive attitude. And so Amplified Life we've really just got it going, but I'm going to use my video production skills there to, as we travel, to document what we're doing and also to interview people as we go. Not necessarily people that you would call spiritual people, but, you know, for example, one of our recent episodes, we stumbled upon someone, happened to peer in a store window and saw someone painting about a 15-foot high mural. It was just beautiful. And so we went in and talked to the person about their inspiration and all of that sort of thing. So someone else might look at the video, the vlog afterwards, and say, well, there's nothing metaphysical about that. It's about an artist doing his painting. But as you know, that energy flow runs through everything, and it's easy to illustrate that to people as well. So Amplified Life as a vlog is where I'm putting a lot of my energies right now. And there's nothing to buy. It's just a matter of either following us on Facebook or subscribing to us on YouTube. And hopefully we can, shine a little extra light into people's lives here and there as we go.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I'll have my staff get in touch with you, and we'll figure out some way to support you and some way to get the website information out to many of my people.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay, that's a very, very appropriate title.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It came from a road trip that we had done years ago, and we called it the Amplified Stardust Tour, and we just took it from there. But life can be amplified. It just takes practice.
Well, you know, you have to have some sort of personal self-control. You have to have some stability. You have to have done some work on yourself. You have to have absorbed some education, be it spiritual, before you can amplify your light enough that other people can catch it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And the purpose of all this is about us becoming more light-filled, about us becoming more conscious, about us becoming more caring, more kind, more connected. Whatever the teacher teaches is not necessarily the end-all and be-all, but what all the teachers teach, and some of them have specialties in connection, and some of them in earth consciousness, and whatever it may be, it's important
that you have that
self-control and the stability for you to be able to amplify your own light.
No, I agree, and you know, you were mentioning that there's these various teachers, and they have various specialties. Also, you yourself go through phases where one teacher really speaks to you at a certain stage in your journey, and then it's not like there's a hierarchy. It's just, you know, for a while I was I delved very deeply into Eckhart Tolle. I was enjoying his books. I was reading them many times and watching everything I could. I'm not so much listening to him right now, just where I'm at. So there's always a teacher for whatever, wherever you're at.
It is, and this is coming from a woman who spent 16 years living with 13 different teachers. So I can tell you that, yes, it's whatever makes your heart sing, whatever your intuition says, oh, this is the place and space I need to be. And the download, I call them downloads, because sitting with a teacher, whether you're sitting with them at the campfire and they're not saying anything, or you're sitting with them in a thousand-year-old church and there's 1,000 people there, there is a unspoken, energetic communication that a teacher brings to you. And their diamond is so lit up that but their positive, appropriate words that they say become magnified, become intense. They find a place inside of you which sparks your own light. So it's teachers change what you do. You know, might do yoga, then you might do Reiki, then you might do healing, and then God knows what, NLP. There's no certain path up the mountain. There are many, many paths up the mountain.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay. So for me, I pick up a camera and I take a picture, and it's just, okay, I see the aura of the thing. I see the energy of the thing. I really cannot just take a beautiful picture. I'm more conscious of what I look like on camera, what my energy is on camera after filming who knows how many hundreds of TV shows and webinars and podcasts and everything. I'm more conscious than I used to be. But I admire someone who can get behind the video camera, who can get behind the camera, and who catches my light or the light of any other teacher than I am watching. There is almost a presence of a lens type energy that gives you this certain way of letting us see what you see plus things that are there. Does that make any sense to you?
It really makes sense. You know, I think it's a talent. It's something that I've always looked at the world almost through the eyes of a camera, if you will. I recently went to a high school reunion, and I spoke to two different women that I had dated for a certain period of time, and both of them in the conversation at one point, separate from each other, said, you know, being with you has taught me to look at the world differently. I see things differently because you see things differently. So I know exactly what you're saying, and I feel it's a talent I was given, and I love to use it. You know, these cruises that we go on, I tell people, you can stand anywhere in one of these ships and look in any direction, down at your feet, up over your head, or in any direction, and it's beautiful. So it's fun to capture the beauty of all these people. People are always saying to me, how come people look so great in your shots? Well, they're at an Abraham workshop. They're lit up.
Exactly. And for me, I do something called divine intervention, one of the many strange things I do. And I touch people, and about 70% of the people who have tumors or something like that, that disappears or it falls out of their body. And I have hundreds of hours of film by various different people taken of me touching somebody and tumors coming out of their body. And there are cameramen who got light coming down, an umbrella effect over the client. there a cameraman where the tumor was dark, even though the tumor was like a chicken gizzard, on the camera it was like a black hole. And there were camera people that it looked like a movie that was filmed too fast or too slow because they couldn't integrate the energy that was going on with the other side of the camera. So being someone who's been filmed in a lot of phenomenal situations, I noticed that no matter how the process goes, it's very important to have someone like you who can get that connection from source to film what is actually there in light and in the physical. So it's been a journey getting people to do that. Let's take a second right now and go to our commercial break.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
I am here and very pleased to be here with Peter Beamish tonight. He has an eye within an eye. Okay, give me one second here, Peter.
Sure.
So, Peter, what do you think's in the future for you? What are you going to film? Where are you going to go? Or are you just right now where you are now?
Well, I am where I am, as you say. In fact, I've become less forward-looking. I certainly know what my next 6 months and even the next year possibly looks like. But I would say that right at the moment, I feel like I am in a sweet spot. I am thoroughly enjoying my weekends and my cruises with Abraham Hicks Organization. And then from Monday to Thursday, I have my home base is in Ottawa, Canada, and I have a little bungalow, and it can be nice and quiet and easy between Monday and Thursday, and I work on my Amplified Life blog and my Facebook page. I'm very active on Facebook as well. Again, just putting out the positive vibes, just putting it out there.
I think that's very, very important. I've already been to your Facebook page, and I encourage other people to get there, like it, get it up where it's activated whenever you go on Facebook. You know, taking the time, taking the intention to blog, to tell people where everything is or what's going on, it's a lot of energy. People don't understand how much it takes to get that light out there.
It actually does, and it takes the energy that someone might see when you're actually doing it, but it's something that you've got going on in your head all the time, because what I found when I first started doing it is I would be in an interesting situation, and it wasn't until I was in the middle of that situation that I went, I should be recording this, I should be shooting this. And so as time went on, I've just gotten better and better, and I can tell when I'm coming into something. And I keep a couple of cameras on me all the time. Obviously, these days with the smartphones, I have an iPhone, and that in itself puts out phenomenal video. And as well, on my belt, I keep a little Canon camera. I basically got an arsenal of cameras, if you will, for whatever situation I'm in. And so, yeah, but you're right. There is a lot of energy involved with blogging and vlogging. But it's fun. As you know, when it's fun, it's not work.
Absolutely. And if you're passionate about it, it is fun. So that's good. Okay, a couple more questions here. Where do you see the camera technology going in the next decade or so?
Well, camera technology, in one part of camera technology, is tied in very closely to drones. I mean, there's now a very inexpensive technology you can get where you put a wristband on and you throw a drone up in the air with a camera and it follows you. You can go out and you can be alone, and you can go out surfing, or you can ski down a ski hill, or race a car, or whatever. And the drone will follow your wrist and will keep you in the shot. So the possibilities for shooting, and as you know, a lot of times you don't have a full crew; it may be just you. I can see now doing an interview with someone, and maybe I've got one camera in one hand, but as well I've got a drone back
a little
bit. And
he's like walking down a path with this person talking, and the drone is looking at you, and then you're
exactly,
looking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. And the other thing I'm really enjoying is that a lot of the new cameras have some really great stabilization in them. And as you know, again, we're talking vlogging here, where not often I'm on a tripod, so the less jitter, the better. And it's, again, it just amazes me. And the amount of computing power that's going on boggles my mind, that these cameras can steady your shot as you're recording it. So that I see the shots just getting smoother and smoother, and the vantage point of a drone is it's incredible what we're going to see with that. I just saw a video of a whale, and it was way out in the ocean, letting out a blast, and the sun making it into a rainbow, and it was all from a drone, because, you know, these drones, some of them are very quiet, so they can come in close and not scare any animals. It's really phenomenal.
I think that's important. I'm looking forward to maybe a decade from now, when we have the holographic cameras, that you set up a couple of them and they film everything from up, down, down, right, left, you know, the complete six-sided box.
Yes, the idea that eventually when you're watching a quote, movie, you're sitting on your living room couch, but it seems as if the characters are playing out their scenario right there in your living room. And as you say, if you want, you're watching some sort of a, you know, James Bond movie, and you want to see it from a different angle, you get off the couch and you walk around to the other side, you can see it from a different angle. That's pretty exciting.
That is, to me, because I see colors and I see auras, and something happened with Skype about 2 years ago. They changed their technology, and all of a sudden I could see auras and energy from Skype, and I was just so excited that whatever was going on, that could happen. And when I got two cameras I like the Polaroid, I could take pictures of people, and I would get entities behind them. I would get them leaving their body with the Polaroid. And
yes,
then,
I think film seems to have a special, as opposed to video, film seems to, for some reason, capture those kind of etheric things even better.
And orbs and all different things. When the digitals first came out, I've had orbs and spirits standing behind me teaching, and God knows what else in the room. And when you look at the picture and snap the picture, my people didn't see anything on them, but when we got and we went through them, it was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. It's almost as if every room you walk into is actually a crowded room. You know what I mean?
It is. You know, when you think that most people have three or four angels and then four plus spirit guides, you're looking at eight entities, spiritual beings, and one human being walk all together. And then there's animal
totems. Your own
totem.
Gang.
And I think it's pretty wonderful. I've been harping on a few points lately, and one of the points that I've been harping on is that half of your existence here on planet Earth, you were a spirit guide. You just don't get to come and have lifetime after lifetime. You have to come and do some work and learn about situations and be a spirit guide, and this has led to all sorts of new learnings for myself and other people. And I think that's, don't ask me what you were in the last lifetime. Ask me who was the person you last spirit guided, you know?
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way before.
Well, yeah. You know, when you talk about soul contracts and we talk about all that stuff, who are the spirit guides? They are humans who have spent some time on Earth, or aliens who have spent some time on Earth, and a body. But you say, I want to be a great photographer this lifetime. Well, obviously, your last spirit guiding trip on planet Earth, you obviously were a spirit guide to some type of photographer, videographer, maybe some of the movie people in Hollywood. You spirit guide something that becomes your passion, your hobby this lifetime. You spirit guide it usually just before, maybe not exactly right away. You know, you could have two lifetimes close together. And looking into this angle of who were you as a spirit guide kind of sets the map for your choices of what you're going to be, not only this lifetime, but in future lifetimes. So people are just like getting their head around this finally.
It's interesting. I'm thinking as you're talking, if I was spirit guiding someone else in that area, it mustn't have been too far back, because the whole art of photography itself, of course, is only, let's say, 100 years old. But even as I say that, it could go back to something. Maybe I was guiding someone who was actually a painter, because it's capturing a scene and in such a way that people can see something that only you are seeing.
And it's really important to be really conscious of when something no longer is your passion, when you've been doing and being the same thing over and over again, because it's safe.
Right.
It's safe, and you really need to say, okay, this is safe. I got to go someplace where there's some new rules. A higher
it's true,
level,
you know.
A different frequency.
Well,
so,
you know, sometimes people talk about contrast is what has driven them down their path, you know, that they had a tough time with this or that, and that's what drove them. But as you say, quite often you have to be careful when things get comfortable. When I was at the last corporate job that I did, it was a wonderful job. I was paid very well. I had a gold Amex card. I traveled all over the world putting on live shows, and it was a lot of fun. And I did it for the longest I ever did one thing, which was 7 years. And it was difficult to step away. I knew that I wanted to interview people like Neil Donald Walsh and Jerry and Esther Hicks, but I also knew that there was the potential for that not to make me a lot of money for a while. And it takes something to step away from it. The last week of work that I did for the company, I was in the Cayman Islands. And at one point I was on a boat with somebody and they said, "You're leaving this? You're just going to leave this? And what's wrong with it?" And I was like, "No, there's nothing wrong with this. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But I have done it for 7 years, and I'm ready for a new challenge. I'm ready for something new."
When do we cross that line between security and doing something for our own heart or our own skills? And that's a real good question. I've seen many gifted healers and gifted intuitives, and they won't go out there and do it because they don't think they can make a living at it, or they don't think they can survive at it, and yet they have these huge gifts. What does it really take to step away from security and step into yourself?
Right. Well, and you know, the thing is, economically, things are changing. If you were a metaphysical healer or an alternative healer in the 60s, 70s, maybe even 80s and not 90s, yes, you'll know that it was a kind of a far-out thing and a little harder to make a living. But even now, the most mainstream person is usually willing to look at things that are not necessarily of Western medicine. And you mentioned things like Reiki and there's so many other things like that, crystals and so on and so forth. I think people don't have the same aversion or fear of it. And so I think if people have talents in that area, it is getting easier and easier to make a living. But you asked the question, when do people step away from the safety and follow their passion. Many people don't. They never do. And I remember several years ago, and maybe you've seen it, it's one of these things that passes along on Facebook. It was a nurse that had spent, I think, 20-some-odd years as a hospice nurse helping people pass over. And she wrote down the top, I think it was the top five regrets of people that are dying. And one of them was what we're speaking of. I wish I had followed my own passion and done what my heart said to do and not what other people had said to do. So I was pretty determined that when I got to the end of the line for me, that I did not want to have that particular regret. And I know I won't have it because I'm continually following my passion.
And there's something about following your passion. You know, you might not have a Mercedes and you might not have a mansion, but God feeds you, shelters you, gets you to transportation, and you get around. And it's not about having things. It's about being connected.
Exactly.
And many, many people in the spiritual community are continually asking me, what have I got to do? And I say, you're going to do all over yourself. It's how do you be? Like, for example, when the law of attraction came out, I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be a train wreck. And it's a great law. And I said, if I was to know that a red light, green light, and yellow light was all I had to know about driving through life, and I ran through stop signs, and I ran on the wrong side of the road, we look at the significant 105 universal laws, that the law of attraction, if you're on a little animal path in the woods and you're looking for a mate and you're in the middle of the, 80 miles of forest preserves, or if you're on a true path to yourself, that you're going to, no matter how far much you follow the law of attraction, you're going to attract from where you are.
Right.
So I am adamantly teaching the 105 universal laws because it's just like driving. You know, you pass on the side, you stop at a stop sign, you know, the lights mean something. You know, there's many, many things that do this, and many people follow the law of attraction, and they got a little burnt out because they weren't attracting anything. And
well,
point it.
Yes, I know what you're saying. I mean, it's a constant adjustment and rebalancing. Abraham sometimes says enlightenment, it's not like a college degree that once you have it, it's yours forevermore. Some days you're there, some days you're not, and it's a constant rebalancing.
Absolutely, and I am adamant about at least having my students read all 105 universal laws so that they know how to move through life and they know what happens and when you have to be responsible and all of this. So
where are those 105 laws?
I will have
laws?
My staff send them to you tomorrow.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you. Thank you. That'll be interesting.
They come from the Blavatsky Besant Theosophical Society around the turn of the century.
Mm.
It's like you got to know the laws of how to move through life. You
right.
know, God treats you like you treat other people. Other people treat you like you treat yourself. So it is always the caregiver who takes care of everybody, that when the caregiver's sick, nobody comes to take care of the caregiver because she's never taken care of herself.
Ah.
Okay, and you have to remember that other people will treat you like you treat yourself. If you don't get your rest, if you don't do your practice, whatever your practice may be, any of the thousands of practices out there, if you don't pay attention to your nutrition, be conscious, stay in your body. You know, if you don't stay in your body and you're asking somebody something, they're going to give you an answer from out of body. It's going to absolutely be worth zero, nothing. So it's really important to get into these universal laws. And law of attraction was a great place to start. It was a great, great place to start. And it, and they were spot on with their teachings about it.
Mm-hmm.
It,
well, a lot of these things are, it's like The Secret, you know, when The Secret came out, and a lot of people said it was very simplistic, but what I said, I didn't disagree with that, but what it was the first mainstream production that basically said, you create your own reality. This is within you. And that, to me, was exciting. And that's not the place to stop, and I don't think anybody does
stop. That was
stop
great. It was the best bridge film we ever had.
Right, right.
It bridged the metaphysical, spiritual with normal people's lives. It was wonderful.
And if it stirs something in you, what happens from there is, as we've been discussing, you have this thirst for knowledge, and you go looking for these things, and one thing leads to another, and it's you're drawn to it. So in that way, law of attraction.
And then there's the other side of it. When you think that nobody can teach you, when you think that you only need to read certain books, when you think that somebody is the only person who can teach you, you'll learn that that's not the truth. And the universe will whisper, then it will shout, then you'll get into a car accident or something. Your body will say, hello.
Yeah.
So we have to pay attention. Is this my passion? Is this what lights my fire? When I walk into a room with a spiritual teacher and they are downloading the information and the lights all over the room and the old people and the grumpy people and babies are all glowing, it is something that I can hold on to for my first teacher was in 1958. So, you know, I can hold on to those moments with her.
So if you had a spiritual teacher back in 1958, as I was saying earlier, you know, these days, meaning, you know, in this new millennium, a lot of people are really waking up, but you must have felt, it must have been a little more difficult to find colleagues, let's say, or people
well,
on
I
the
had
same
to,
path.
I actually went to Barranquilla, Colombia, and studied with a teacher up in the hills.
I imagine that's what you would have to do back then. You wouldn't be finding these people in the mainstream North America like you do now.
Yeah,
and so,
then, of course, it was India after that, and, you know, a lot of that. And through the various, like I said, 13 different teachers for 16 years. And I think I've got like 50 certifications here in the United States, like NLP and all that sort of stuff. And I think that bridging the practical applications that we have here with the shamanism is a very powerful place to be. You know, I can give you a technique, and then I can give you the energy that the shaman used. So I find that very, very important. And saying something else about spiritual teachers, there's something that there's an undescribableness about them, and you know, like Osho.
Used to call it ineffable.
Ineffable.
Love that word.
Ineffable, and I think that because I'm that way. That's why I have thousands of students all over the world, and
right.
It's not what I do; it's how I be. And it's all my beings with the teachers. It's my continual work. It's my writing my books. It's my, you know, doing my webinars. It's seeing clients for 55 years that give me that place to, that diamond, to let that light come out of the facets. I still read 5 books a week. I just got another certification the other day, you know.
Yeah, I guess it's a lifelong thirst.
When you stop, this is the place where you need to worry. When you think you know it all, this is the place before the fall. This is the place, and it's amazing. It's amazing how many things you can find on YouTube, how many things you can find I mean, even on Twitter or Facebook, that can light you up.
Oh, absolutely. It's endless.
It's endless. But do you sit down and see who, what, I mean, I have 5,000 friends on Facebook, and I've let a lot of them go, but I still have 5,000 friends. I don't understand that. I keep letting people go. I don't want to know, see a picture of your sandwich. I want to know how you're feeling in your heart. What did you discover today that made you better? What insight did you have?
I agree. I'm a big fan of Facebook. I use it a lot. But what I will do is I don't necessarily unfriend someone. Is once I'm following them for a bit, if they are doing as you say, it's just I like people that are sharing of themselves. And those are the ones that I keep on my news feed and I stay connected with. Sometimes I've met these people at an event, and we had a meal together or something and really connected. So it's really nice to stay connected, because most of my friends live in places other than where I live.
In the world. They don't
yes.
live in a city,
yes.
a city. And yes, and okay, I'm a sucker for the cute puppies and you know, or cute kittens and all that. I'm a sucker for that. You know, so you don't have to do what I did. You don't have to live in stick huts or live in an ashram in a room with 300 women who all snored and slept in the same dorm, and you had to scrub the floors, or live in Africa with a Maasai like I did. You don't have to do that. Right now, people have done that.
No, but it's
that.
Nice that you did do it and are able to bring it back to people that are here.
And just like you're bringing Esther to everybody who can't get out of their living room, who can't find a ticket, buy a ticket.
Well thank you. I used to say I feel like I helped to present Abraham's teachings on a silver platter.
Well, thank you from many, 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 many of my students and from my own heart, as I have loved all the teachings. I've loved
Good.
All the teachings. Now, I think maybe it's about time I did a little advertising for some of the things that I've got coming up here. I have my big, huge, month-long workshop coming up September 8th to October 8th. My workshop is called Dimensional Mastery. I teach phenomena in this. I teach you how to levitate something, how to maybe walk in water and teleport. We'll see about that. I've been teaching this class for 10 years. Have a couple hundred of satisfied clients talk to me about dimensional mastery. Come look at my website. There's lots of classes. There's some fun free stuff and other than that, I think I've got 8 or 9 books somewhere, someplace. And enjoy and pick and choose and see what you need to see on my website. I'd also like you to go to www.aura.ca. And if you're wondering what the CA stands for, it stands for Canada. And I'd like you to look at Peter Beamish's shop, his store, well, his website, and what he's all about. He's that special lens, that appropriate light that gets more than the picture. Thank you, Peter, for being here tonight.
It was a pleasure.
And I'll have my staff send you the information tomorrow. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.